It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am your host, Chris Shan. We'll be joined by the godfather of YesNetwork.com, Joe Auriemma, in just a bit. But first, it's time to talk about not your American League East champion New York Yankees, not your ALDS champion New York Yankees, but your American League champion New York Yankees. Joe and I started this podcast Off the Wall back in July, just to remind you. Since that first fateful Wednesday back in July, the New York Yankees took first place on that day, the day we started doing this podcast. And now they're going back to the Fall Classic for the 40th time. 4-0. By the way, no one's even close to the Yankees in World Series trips and World Series victories. Joey will talk about that in just a bit. Now, all season long, since we've been doing this, I've been telling everyone that's an earshot. Don't worry about this team. They're going to be fine. If somebody falters, they have somebody else to pick them up. Your ALCS MVP, CC Sabathia. When I saw that, I said, yes, deserved. But I thought it should have been shared. Because Alex Rodriguez not only had a terrific ALCS, he has had a phenomenal postseason so far. And I believe CC's left arm and A-Rod's bat are two of the major reasons why the Yankees are right now where they are in the series going up against the Phillies. Now, they say you have to beat the best to be the best. Well, the Yankees were 0-8 against the Red Sox, and they were 9-1 in the second half. Didn't meet them in the playoffs because the Red Sox were swept out by the Angels. So the Angels were the better team this year than the Red Sox. The Yankees beat the Twins, who ended up winning the Central after the Tigers went south in the last four games of the season. So the Yankees take care of the Twins in three games. So the Red Sox demons, over. They take care of Minnesota. Then they move on to the Angels. And we all know about the demons that the Angels bring to the Yankees every season. 2002 ALDS, see you later, Yankees. 2005 ALDS, see you later, Yankees. Seven-game series, different story. And the difference, as I'm sure Joey will echo a bit later, the pitching. Good pitching and good defense get you to the World Series. I don't care if you have Babe Ruth in every part of your lineup. You could have 9 Babe Ruths. You could still lose. If you don't have the horses going for you on the mound, your offense means nothing. But what this team is showing you is when you put two together, you end up playing late October and now early November. Talking about beating the best to be the best. Number one, I'm glad the Dodgers aren't there. I wrote about this in my blog because if it was Dodgers, it wouldn't be about the World Series. It would be about Joe Torre. And I would have been sick to my stomach. I don't want it to be about Joe Torre. I don't want it to be about him coming back to the Bronx. I don't want it to be him against the Yankees. I am glad the Philadelphia Phillies made it back. Glad. Because they have the best team in the National League. They have a tremendous offense. And they have one of the best starters in the game right now in Cliff Lee. What a pickup that was for Ruben Amaro Jr. I got to tell you. Not too sure about Pedro Martinez going in game two. But hey, the guy's been serviceable, and he can't wait to come back and pitch in Yankee Stadium. And I'm sure Yankee fans can't wait either. And I'm going to time how quick the Who's Your Daddy chants come back. We all know that story. But that's why I'm glad the Philadelphia Phillies are back to defend their title. Because I think they pose the biggest challenge to the Yankees. Think about this. You have the defending champs going up against the best team, record-wise, in Major League Baseball this year. How much better can it get? Not too much. Plus, you have two cities in New York and Philadelphia who hate each other. Fans-wise, listen, try wearing a Giant jersey into the link. I used to wear one into the vet, into the 700 level. And if you're listening and you've ever done that, you know what I'm talking about. Even with a girlfriend, doesn't matter. You can't protest any calls. You will get your hiney kicked. Or at least you will be called out. I've been hit with rolls of toilet paper. I've been hit with batteries. I've been told by 7-year-olds, while I was wearing my Yankee jacket at the vet, Phillies Yankees back in 97 when interleague play first started, the Yankees stink, but it wasn't stink. Figure it out. They teach them very young down there how to hate New York teams. And that Sunday, and Joe and I will talk about this too, you're going to have Giants-Eagles at 1 at the link. Okay? Phillies-Yankees game 4 at the bank. That is going to be a rough one. Giants coming off 2 losses. They got creamed by the Saints. Turnovers killed them against the Cardinals. We'll talk about that. The Jets bounce back. Between the Giants and Jets, the Raiders are just, they're a train wreck. I mean, you know, they have a win, and then Richard Seymour comes out and calls out Antonio Pierce for calling out his defense and says the Raiders will be in the playoffs. Richard, just be quiet. Talk about football, too. But Joe and I are back right after this to talk and preview the Fall Classic, the 40th time the New York Yankees will be making an appearance. Haters, unite! It's already started. Met fans, Red Sox fans, Astros fans, they're all getting their Phillies hats ready. Bring it. The hate makes the empire stronger. We're back right after.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
That is the quote of the year by Mr. Michael Corleone. Chris, every time Red Sox fans and Met fans think the Yankees are out, they pull that hatred back in. This World Series 2009 is George Lucas's best movie, The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh boy, here we go.
Because now, the New York Yankees are going for Joe Girardi's number.
First thing, let's do this, Joe. Since, you know, we decided to, you know, go full-fledged World Series, and we should for a while, let's do this.
Yes.
Let's break down every position.
You're a position-by-position guy, huh?
Let's go position-by-position, okay?
By the way, I heard Craig on the Craig Carton, the Boomer and Carton show, mm-hmm. They bring Mitch Williams on. Now, Mitch Williams has been covering the Philadelphia Phillies now for 3 years.
Right.
He, you know, Wild Thing was former
right.
closer, 93.
Joe Carter, how you doing?
Yeah.
Anyway.
He comes on and does a kind of a position by position. Now, Craig Carton, who's a Met fan, but an A-Rod lover, he you know, basically says, I think the Yankees are going to win, and this is why I think the Yankees are going to win. Mitch Williams says he thinks the Phillies are going to win, but it's going to be a good series. Then has the audacity to say that the Phillies are going to win in five. So Craig Carton says, so you honestly think, looking at the Yankees team and looking at your starting rotation, you think that the Philadelphia Phillies are going to split in New York and take three in Philadelphia? And Mitch Williams said yes. I don't see how that's possible.
Well, I think a lot of runs are going to be scored in this series because you're playing in that bandbox in Philadelphia. Now, Yankee Stadium was a home run haven during the regular season, but in the playoffs, not so much, unless you're Alex Rodriguez, of course.
Yes.
But let's do this.
Okay.
Before we do it, you had Mitch Williams. I have Jimmy Rollins on Leno's show saying the Phillies are going to win.
That's a lot of Philly... Yeah, a lot of Philly talk.
A lot of
right
yapping,
now.
And you're not going to hear any of this out of the Yankees.
And the Yankees' celebration after they won the American League title was, it was big. It was grandiose.
But every it was subdued. Time someone talked,
right,
including their manager, they said, this is nice, but we're not done.
Exactly.
They know what they have to do. And, you know, for Phillies to go on these talk shows, it's just stupid. It's stupid because it's fodder for bulletin board material. Not that any Yankee would say, oh, yeah, we're putting it on the bulletin board. They don't have to do that. But you should just keep your mouth shut.
But going on what you said, these are the two best teams in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Finally, baseball has a World Series in the wild card era where the two best teams are playing in the World Series.
Yep, you have the defending champs and you have the best team with the best record going head-to-head.
No disrespect to the Phillies.
No, none at all.
None.
They're there to defend their title, and they're the first National League team since the Big Red Machine back in 75 and 76
yep.
to have a chance to repeat as the World Series champion from the National League. Now, it's funny, too, because back then it was the Red Sox and Yankees that the Reds beat, and the Phillies could actually take care of two teams from the American League East as well in the Rays and the Yankees. We'll see what happens, but let's start breaking things down now.
All right, let's do
Pedro
this.
Feliz, Alex Rodriguez, third base, Joe, who has the advantage there?
That's not even an issue. I mean, it's Alex Rodriguez, and this is where Mitch Williams actually said that the Phillies have an advantage defensively. Now, I don't know what he's looking at. I think Pedro Feliz might be a decent defensive player, but if you look at Alex Rodriguez, the man has a gun for an arm. He plays a good third base, and you cannot argue with the production that this guy has put out during the playoffs this year. He is on a whole other level right now and is basically so calm and so collected. Alex Rodriguez is the man.
Agreed. Shortstop, Jimmy Rollins, Derek Jeter, advantage. Derek Jeter, New York Yankees, and let me tell you why. He's third right now in home runs behind Manny Ramirez and Bernie Williams in the postseason. I think at the end of this World Series, with that short porch all over the place in Philly, Jeter's going to have a couple more home runs under his belt. And this is why I think pitchers, and they haven't learned yet, pitchers towards the end of the regular season and in the postseason have been coming after Jeter with first pitch strikes when he leads off the game. And what has Jeter done with these balls?
Deposited them.
He's had base hits. He's had doubles. I really think pitchers are going to need to be careful. I don't know why. I just have this feeling that Jeter is going to have a tremendous World Series and he's going to hit a couple of home runs, a couple of big home runs.
No disrespect to Jimmy Rollins, who is a former league MVP. The man did hit 240 this year, but his production numbers were good. Jeter scored 7 more runs, but Jimmy Rollins had a very nice year production-wise. At this point in his career, defensively, Jimmy Rollins might be a little bit better, but there is something magical about Jeter in the postseason. And even on a bad defensive play, like we saw in Game 6 against the Angels, you know what? The ball bounces right to Robinson Cano, and they get the out. It's just, there's just something about Derek Jeter at this time of year, defensively, offensively, that he's just the man.
Let's go to second base now. Chase Utley, Robinson Cano, and I'm calling this one a push, and here's why. Just hear me out.
Okay.
Utley is having a horrendous postseason so far.
Right.
We don't know if he's hurt. Mitch Williams said he might be hurt, but Utley will never tell you that. The Phillies will never tell you that, and you won't know he was hurt until he's scheduled for some kind of surgery when the season's over.
Right.
So Utley can be hurt, But especially in their ballpark, he can destroy you and he can wake up at any second.
Right.
Cano is having a better postseason than Utley. I just think the specter of Utley, you know, playing possum or coming out of it, it still looms there. So that's why I'm giving this a push. And defensively, I think they're both tremendous in the field. Both, and Cano has saved the Yankees in the postseason more than once.
Both of them are supreme defensive second basemen. Both of them are respectively two of the better offensive second baseman in the league. I got to give the advantage to Utley there because I think Utley, when he's at his best, is the better of the two second basemen. Chase Utley, you're right, is not having a good postseason. He might come back and really be a menace to the Yankees here. Something to look out for in the World Series. But the thing with Chase Utley is, Chris, like you said, not having a good postseason right now. I still would give the advantage to the Phillies just on the thought that Chase Utley could break out of this. And Robinson Cano with runners in scoring position is, even though his numbers are good in the postseason, he still has trouble in that area.
All right, let's go to first base now. Joe, Mark Teixeira and Ryan Howard. And I'm giving this to Ryan Howard and the Phillies. Howard has just been like A-Rod in this postseason. He's been an absolute monster. You know, he can hurt you anyway. He batted 333 in the NLCS.
He's so good.
Against the Dodgers. He was 5 for 15. He had 2 home runs and 8 ribbies, 6 walks. So 11 times he was on base.
Yeah.
So he can hurt you in so many ways. You know, pitchers are scared to throw. Like I said, he's just like Alex Rodriguez right now. Defensively, I give the edge to Mark Teixeira. But overall, this is another one in the Phillies' hands right now. It's Ryan Howard over Tex.
Ryan Howard has just gotten better defensively, too, through the years.
He has. I'm not saying anything bad about
but
his defense.
Mark
he can handle the leather. But
Mark Teixeira is on a whole other plane.
Defensively, I would take Tex over Howard.
Mark Teixeira, here's the thing. Mark Teixeira saves runs in the field. He really does, and that's what he's proven. And it looks like he's coming out of this slump. He's hit in the last couple games. He's looked good at the plate. He doesn't have that lost look from the ALDS. I have to say, Chris, I give the edge to Ryan Howard, but this is really close. Another really close matchup between
both really
teams.
Can't,
can't really debate that.
Ibañez and Damon in left field, and that's easy. Advantage Phillies and Raul Ibañez. He has a better arm in left, and he's crushing the ball this postseason. I mean, you know, this is the thing, you know, Yankee fans and the Yankees themselves have to realize is that when they look at the Phillies lineup, they're practically looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
They really are. Because the
Phillies, defensively in the outfield, they're better than
they
the
are.
Yankees.
They are. If you want to take it like that, the entire outfield, I would take the Phillies outfield over the Yankees outfield just over arm strength and a little bit more athletic ability out there.
Right. And look, Raul Ibañez is having a great year, slowed down in the second half a little bit after that monster first half, and then he got hurt. But the thing with Ibañez, Chris, is that you can't, you know, he's never been really in this spotlight. Johnny Damon's been here before. I'm not giving the advantage to Johnny Damon at all. I think it is Ibañez, you know, who's the better player at this point in the career. But just the knowing the experience, Johnny Damon's still a good left fielder, and I think, again, this is where I think the matchups are kind of a push. I mean, I give the advantage to Ibañez, but I wouldn't throw Johnny Damon off a ledge.
Another
here.
Thing about Damon, just so everyone knows, this guy is a great guy.
Yeah.
Before Game 6 of the ALCS, when he has to go stretch, I asked him, you know, have 2 or 3 questions answered, and he turned to me and said, "How could I help you guys out?" You know, when everything's going nuts, he took his time. He gave it to us.
Now he's the man.
Just so, I don't know if he probably doesn't listen to the Off the Wall podcast, but Damon is a great guy and always gives us the time, and it's greatly appreciated. Now, going with the rest of the outfield, we'll do Victorino and Worth against Cabrera and Swisher together, since we both kind of alluded to the fact that we're taking the Phillies outfield over the Yankees outfield. Now, Victorino in the postseason, 360,
the Flying Hawaiian.
361, 3 homers, 7 ribbies. Jason Worth, 281, 5 homers, 10 ribbies. Offensively alone, you take them over Cabrera and Swisher. Swisher's just mired in a slump. He had a hit in Game 6. It helped the Yankees in that fourth inning score a couple of runs. but definitely taking Victorino and Worth over Melky and Nick Swisher.
I would agree with that. Advantage Phillies in both positions. And really, you know, that's all nice and well. I mean, it, like you said, it's like looking into a mirror. They have, you know, guys that have, you know, four guys that hit 30 home runs this year. The Yankees have, you know, seven guys that hit 20 or more home runs. It's just, it's very, very similar lineup. But what's different, Chris? What's different? And we're going matchup by matchup.
Don't rush the bit.
Sorry. You take it from here. It's your show.
What is different is the rotation. I'm sure that's you were going. So why don't you go ahead and start?
And all I want to say is, look, Sabathia and Cliff Lee is a rematch of opening day between the Yankees and the Indians.
And former teammates on Cleveland. And best of friends.
I mean, this has got to be a little bittersweet for Shapiro over in Cleveland to see these two guys.
Two of his top line starters starting game one of the World Series.
Right. And Cliff Lee has been amazing. But as good as Cliff Lee has been, he hasn't faced a lineup like the Yankees, where Sabathia has faced those American League type lineups all season. And he has he's really been unbelievable up to this point.
Oh, and was Game 6 a big win for the Yankees?
Oh, because you
lose that game. The whole complexion of this World Series if Sabathia had to throw a Game 7 and the Yankees advanced after that. You wouldn't have had him till Game 3, and you would only use them twice. Now the Yankees, if they want to, can use Sabathia three times.
Absolutely.
In Game 4 and Game 7 on short rest. It's there.
Right,
but if
there.
Game 7 was in effect in the ALCS, you don't have that. So that win in Game 6
I agree.
Was huge.
Well, that makes this Game 1 a push for me because, look, Sabathia and Lee are both really at the top of their game. Now, if Sabathia somehow beats Cliff Lee and, you know, they in a 1-0 game, you got to give the series advantage at that point. This is such a big game.
Yeah,
you got to give. It's a big game. It's a bigger game for the Phillies.
It is.
Because if the Yankees lose, they can bounce back because then Game 2 is Pedro
Burnett.
You got
Burnett and Pettit.
And really, if the Phillies lose Game 1, that's exactly what it is. Then you got Pedro, Hamels, who hasn't been that great,
And Blanton.
And Blanton.
They have to bank on winning Game 1. They have to. They know, and you're going to have to look out for this when they go at it in Game 1, that the Phillies are going to try to manufacture a run any way they can against CC Sabathia. I know they have a devastating lineup, but I'm telling you right now, with Lee on the hill and Sabathia on the hill, runs are going to be at a premium, and the Phillies are going to do whatever they can do to win this game. I'm not saying they're going to play small ball the whole series.
Right.
But in Game 1, they might be, you know, they might revert back to a National League team, and even though they're in the American League Park, and get runs any way they can.
Now, they beat Sabathia last year in the postseason, but that was also a Sabathia who just pitched.
He was gassed.
Oh,
he was
my
gassed.
God. This is a Sabathia
he's
on full
yes.
rest.
He's rested.
This is a full
we
rest.
We talked to him before Game 6, before the rains came down. You know, he's as confident as can be. He's ready to go. We talked to him about, you know, the Yankees wrapping things up in Game 6 and having him ready for Game 1. He cannot wait for this. He absolutely cannot wait for this. Now, Game 2, you have Pedro coming in, who's all right. He's another one who's running his mouth. He can't wait to pitch against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Now, I know there's reasons there for him why he said he loves the Yankees and he's going to love the opportunity to pitch. But I'm telling you right now, if they beat Lee in Game 1, and they're facing Pedro in Game 2.
Oh, who's your daddy, Pedro?
Burnett. Listen, I know Burnett's had his control problems, and he always has that one inning, and you never know when it's going to be. But he has that one inning where he just loses focus and loses command, and the other team scores a couple of runs. But if A.J. Burnett can give me, you know, an A.J. Burnett outing, even giving up two runs in an inning, but then being lights out for the rest of the game, the Yankees are going to beat Pedro.
I know they're going to be Pedro. I have a feeling they're going to be Pedro.
I couldn't believe the Dodgers couldn't get anything done against Pedro Martinez.
Again, though, this is now Pedro's going to be going up. He's faced National League lineups. Pedro is going to be going up against, with a DH, the New York Yankees, the best offense in the
and
league.
And the lineups, the rosters don't have to be in for another day.
Now, here's my point to you. Burnett, if he doesn't pitch to Molina, which In game five, he shouldn't pitch to Molina.
No, Posada should be starting.
Posada should be starting because no DH.
You need your,
it weakens that lineup.
You need to have your optimal lineup out there.
So now Girardi needs to go to Burnett and say, listen, you're not pitching. It didn't work in the last game. You pitched well after the first inning from 2-6, I get it. But the bottom line is, we need Jorge Posada
yeah.
in this lineup. And now that takes Francisco Cervelli out of the picture. You can carry two catchers. Bring
Eric Hinsky
back in this lineup. We have a friend that looks like Eric Hinsky.
Ryan Rutherford. So Joe almost called him Ryan.
bring Hinsky back in this lineup, and still have your comfort of having Freddy Guzman as a late inning pinch runner.
All right. So the rotation, we're giving the edge to the Yankees, both of us.
Absolutely.
Now the bullpen.
Even Sabathia on a 3-day rest, he proved what he could do on 3 days rest.
Now the bullpen. Well, he's 4-2 with an ERA of like 2.11 on 3 days rest in his career. Now the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to throw names out at you. Durbin, Happ, Madsen, Park, Lidge.
Okay.
And maybe Bastardo if he makes the roster. I really don't know.
I like J.A. Happ.
You know, we saw him in spring training against the Yankees. He did well down there.
Madsen, he's hit or miss. I like
him. He had a 5.41 ERA in the NLCS. So, you know, like I always say, paper, throw it out, some World Series, whatever.
He's got Jepsen type stuff. Yeah. So
let's go. Those are the Phillies, depending on who else makes. I don't know if Antonio Bastardo is going to make it.
Bastardo.
But Coke, Aceves, Robertson, Hughes, Chamberlain, Moe. Pretty much think that's going to be the Yankees bullpen as we move forward.
Well, what you said before was pitching and defense wins championships.
That's why I said it before, because even though the Phillies have a couple more edges at the plate, the Yankees, between Joe and I, have the edge in the pen and they have the edge in the rotation. And I really think the bullpen and the rotation are going to be the difference in this series. And
well, you hit it on the head. You said you think there's going to be a lot of runs scored. In my opinion, the Yankees pitching staff isn't going to give up as many runs as the Phillies pitching staff, giving the Yankees the win.
Well, here's what I think. The Phillies are scrappy.
Yes.
The Phillies are a good team. Phillies have good bats, but they have so-so pitching. I don't know how their pitching is going to be. In my heart of hearts, this is the way how I really feel this series is going to go. I think the Yankees are going to split at home. I think Lee gets them. I think they beat Pedro. I think they go into Philly, split at one. I think the three games in Philly, the Yankees take 2 of 3. They come back to New York up 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
I think Manuel, if he used Lee in game 5, game 6, he'd have to throw Pedro again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think somehow Pedro beats the Yankees in game 6. And then Sabathia takes it home in game 7, and it goes 7, and the Yankees win it in 7.
Okay, well now, we've both predicted, and both had the same predictions for both series. We both said Yankees in 3, we both said Yankees in 6. This is the one where I'm disagreeing with you.
Okay.
And I don't want to sound like a Yankee homer. We just went through our reasons why we think the Yankees are going to win. And I think the Yankees are going to win this series. I really do. I think the Yankees are the better team this year, even though the Phillies are a very, very good team. The Yankees in 6. And the difference, Chris, to me, is I think Sabathia is going to outlast Cliff Lee on full rest in game 1. When that happens, I think the pressure, there's not going to be as much pressure on A.J. Burnett as there is going to be on Pedro Martinez to take a game in New York. I think the Yankees are going to get to Pedro, and I think they're going to win game 2. I think they're going to win. They're so good at home. They're so good at home, and I think they're going to win game 2. Then I think the Yankees have a chance to win game 3. Hamels is going to outduel. I think Hamels is going to have a good performance. Hamels is going to outduel Pettit. The Yankees come back. Sabathia is going to beat Blanton. Then I think we're going to come back, and Lee is going to beat Burnett. And then they come back to game 6. And guess what? Andy Pettit, who better to have on the mound for game 6 in Yankee Stadium? That crowd is going to be pumped. Yankees win in 6.
So we still feel that it's going to come back to New York.
Yes.
I just feel it's going to go an extra game.
Yes.
All right. Joey? That's our World Series discussion. Hopefully next Wednesday we'll be discussing A game six back here in New York, and a possible game seven.
A clincher for the Yankees, hopefully.
Or we'll be talking about the World Series champion, whoever it may be. But in the next break, after this next break, I can guarantee you we're going to talk about next, and that's the Giants and Jets when we come back here on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the two-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features, only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
And welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, the godfather of YesNetwork.com, of course.
No.
Here to take you through a little football, and we'll talk about the Giants and Jets and how this Sunday is pretty much must-see TV, rivalry weekend everywhere.
Oh, my
Joey,
God.
Joey, break it down for us really
This
fast.
Might be one of the best sports watch Sundays in the history of New York.
Yes, before we get to the past, we talk about the future. Joey, go ahead.
And really, you've got the Eagles and Giants from Philadelphia at 1 o'clock.
At the Link.
You have Jets and Dolphins at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Two 1 o'clock games, leaving 4 o'clock open for Brett Favre returning to Green Bay.
Wow.
Followed.
So basically, we know what's next.
Followed by the Yankees and Phillies.
So get the crazy
glue
out.
Oh, my God.
Make a nice little circle on your chair and sit down because you're not going to get up or move.
Good God.
You are set as a sports fan from 12 o'clock when the pregame shows start till midnight. You've got 12 hours of butt-numbing sports watch.
This might be
sports to watch.
The Sunday that raises that divorce rate back up.
Yeah. All right, that's the future. Let's talk about the past. Now, last week was another rough one for the Giants. They get drilled down in New Orleans. They come home to the friendly confines of the blue walls of the Meadowlands and proceed to get not drilled but beat by the Arizona Cardinals. And the turnover bug got to them this week. They were driving for a potential game-tying score. Ahmad Bradshaw fumbles. Eli Manning throws a couple of big picks. And away we go, Joe.
Talk about a lack of intensity, too, from the Giants. Just, they did not look like they were completely into this game. Where is that daunted pass rush that we used to see the Giants get to the quarterback? Kurt Warner was, they got to him a little bit, but they didn't knock him down too much. And Kurt Warner was comfortable in that pocket. Eli Manning not having another great game. My whole thing, Chris, with this team is that maybe the injuries are starting to catch up with them, with Kareem McKenzie and Aaron Ross and Phillips and maybe Boley, who's amazing on defense, and Canty. Maybe it's just starting to catch up to them.
Well, maybe it is, and it doesn't get any easier this week down in Philly, as you said.
Who has been unimpressive, by the way? I just want to say that.
They have been unimpressive, but when McNabb and his receivers are clicking, as they showed you on Monday night, they are a very, very dangerous offense. Their defense does not scare me as it used to, but still, that defense in that building with those fans, it's a tough place to play.
It is.
I don't care who you are, it's a tough place to play.
It is.
Unless you're the Saints, of course, who put up, 31?
40.
40 points against the Eagles.
40 plus, yeah.
Back in week two or three, I can't remember. But the Giants have their hands full again this week down in Philly. They just looked,
uninspired.
I was at the Yankee game. I did see highlights of the Giants game. That's tough. I mean, you're a Yankee and Giant fan. ALCS Game 6 outweighs Giants-Cardinals in October. Sorry to report that, but it does.
Yeah, it did to me. I DVR'd the Giant game.
I did not. I saw highlights. I saw the Bradshaw fumble. You can't get on Bradshaw. He's trying to get extra yardage.
But they got it back, and then the pick.
They got it back, and then Eli throws a pick.
Oh.
And it's just the exact opposite of what you thought Eli was going to do. You know him from taking the Giants on these two-minute drives and scoring the game-tying touchdown or getting the game-winning, getting in position for the game-winning field goal. It was the complete antithesis of what he's been as of late. So the Giants dropped to 5-2. They're only a game ahead of the Cowboys and a game ahead of the Eagles. So this game down in Philly looms large for the Giants. Joey, I'm going right into my pick here.
Yep.
I'm taking the Giants. It's because of the fact that the Philly defense just does not scare me. I know it's going to be tough to play down there. I know the Philly defense is going to come out with that crowd behind them and you know, try their best to beat Eli and the Giants offense. But I just really think that this is a bounce back week for them. Two losses in a row. Tom Coughlin has to be, you know, screwing himself into the ceiling right now, you know, back-to-back losses. The Saints, you know, you look at that loss, you go, you know, we could take that. It was in their building. But losing to the Cardinals at home, the way they lost to them, that's just a tough pill to swallow.
This is a bounce back week, in my opinion, for the Giants. This is the one on the road. They always play inspired ball on the road. They play well, other than in the Superdome.
Yeah.
But I think this is the week where they bounce back. I'm also going to take the Giants. So we're in agreement there. By the way, I went 0-3 last week. Chris went 2-1.
Yeah,
so.
The big mouth over here yapping.
So I'm now 9-9.
And I'm 10-8. So I took the lead back. So. Big mouth.
I'm not trash talking.
Just like
anymore.
Jimmy Rollins running his mouth.
I'm
you
not
see
trash
what happens
talking.
When you run your mouth. You get taken to task. Next, the Jets and the Dolphins. Actually, before we get to the Jets and Dolphins this week, we talk about the Jets and their victory over just, you know, a hapless Raiders team. And I said on the Off the Wall podcast last week, you know what? Put 9 in the box. Hell, put 11 in the box and make Jamarcus Russell beat you. That's exactly what the Jets did. And Russell did absolutely what the Jets wanted him to do. He is terrible.
He stinks.
If this was Charles Barkley and it was the segment Terrible or Not Terrible,
it would
be terrible.
Terrible.
He was absolutely terrible. He played right into the Jets' hands. And the Jets go in there. And between the Jets and Giants this year, let me do some quick math. 44 plus 38.
While you're doing that quick
carry
math.
Carry the one. 82-7. Both New York teams beat the Raiders this year 82-7. And it should have been 51-0 and 38-0, and it should have been 89-0, but we won't get into that.
Yeah. Well, just looking at this week for the Jets, Chris. Let's talk about Hot Dog Gate, too, with Sanchez eating the hot dog on the sideline. I have no problem with it. I have no problem with it in the fourth quarter. He's famished. They were handedly beating the Raiders. I got no problem with the hot dog. I know Francesa had a problem with it. Other people have had problems with it. I got no problem with it.
Hey, if your quarterback's hungry, he's dehydrated, he needs something to eat, and he's eating something, he's eating something. I have no problem with it either. I don't think it shows up the other team.
No.
He was hungry.
He was hungry.
If that was the only thing they had for him to eat, what is he supposed to do, not eat?
Yeah, I agree.
What is he supposed to do, go in the locker room? No, he's going to be out there with his teammates.
He was dehydrated, so I have no problem with that. But going into this week against the Dolphins, first of all, the NFL is just, where are they going? They just played this team. This should have been a game that should have been later in the year, as pointed out by Joe Callow on Football NYC.
We talked about this, too.
This is ridiculous.
When we went through the Jets' schedule, we talked about this.
It is
ridiculous, but it's a must-win for the Jets. They can't lose two to the Dolphins. I know Rex Ryan knows that. I know Rex Ryan has probably been looking at that Wildcat and trying to devise a way to stop it. And you know what, Joey? I think they do. I think the Jets get off the deck, and I think they take it to the Dolphins this week, and I think they beat them.
I mean, the Dolphins just had that New Orleans game in hand, and they let them get back in that game, and they lost. They lost. I cannot believe they lost that game. And you know what? I think that's going to have a carryover effect. I think the Jets are going to win. I think the Jets are going to win this game.
I think the Jets win this game as well. I think they shut down the Wildcat. So first and foremost, the Giants for me and Joey, and then the Jets for me and Joey as well. So we're both taking both New York teams again this week.
We usually take a different third game, but I think we might be taking the same third game this week.
All right, well, Denver and Baltimore I'm taking.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go with that game. Denver going into Baltimore, taking their 6-0. Record and 3-0 road record into Baltimore. It's a tough game against a tough defense, but you know what? Denver has proved that their defense is no slouch either. I am taking the rookie head coach and the Denver Broncos to make their record 7-0 and make Mercury Morris lose some hair and go back to MHR.
And you know what I'm going to do right here?
What?
With my pick, I'm going to eat crow. I am going to eat crow.
Okay.
I killed this man
to start the season.
And you know what? I still don't like him. I still don't like him. But I am going to say that Brett Favre is going to go into Green Bay and exact revenge against Ted Thompson and Dem Packers.
All right.
The Packers defense, suspect. You cannot blame Aaron Rodgers for this team, even though he hasn't been unbelievable to start this season. To me, the way the Minnesota Vikings played in Pittsburgh in that hostile environment against a very good Pittsburgh Steelers team who always play well at home and almost beat them was very impressive to me.
Don't forget, YesNetwork.com, Joe and myself will be at every World Series game, Yankee Stadium, Citizens Bank Park. Go to YesNetwork.com for all your Yankees postseason needs. We'll get interviews before the game. We'll try to get some reaction after the game. We'll have a podcast after the game. We'll have a wrap-up after each game.
I was even thinking of doing maybe like the minor league road trip. We had a nice little thing with that. Not doing that, but kind of having us during the day maybe going to get cheesesteaks and kind of a little bit of a World Series experience down in Philadelphia.
We can do that as well. Just keep coming back to YesNetwork.com. We are going to be all over it from different angles. And, yes, we'll have the pre- and post-games. Don't forget Joey, Joey's blog, Meet at the Bat, John Lane's blog.
Life in the Fast Lane.
My blog, Off the Wall, just like the podcast. Bob Lorenz, The Blob, Kim Jones, Keeping Up with the Jones. We have this World Series covered on YesNetwork.com. Please make sure you come and just check out everything we're doing, video, blogging-wise, vlogging-wise as well. And Joey and I, the next time we see you, we'll be at Yankee Stadium for Game 1 of the World Series, and then we'll come to you from Philadelphia. So everyone, thanks for listening to the Off the Wall podcast. We will see you at the Classic.